Good morning. It's Tuesday, April 28th, 2009. You're listening to the Brain Labor Report.
Listen up. We've got a war zone here today, right in our heartland. And across the USA, these multinational bastards don't use tanks and guns, it's true. But they've declared a war on us. Fight back, it's up to you. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
And it's time we started calling the shots. Going to work could be the death of you and me, but we're not unarmed. Our weapon's solidarity, Jim Beals and Karen Silkwood. The list goes on and on. With every year that passes, 60,000 more gone. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war. And it's time we started calling the shots. When they boost your copay,
war on the workers.
Don't you know what to say?
War on the workers.
When they talk privatization,
war on the workers.
And cooperation,
war on the workers.
When they call you a team,
war on the workers.
You better learn how to scream.
War on the workers. War on the workers.
Every working stiff can see.
War on the workers.
Now when they poison your water,
war on the workers.
Don't pull like lambs to the slaughter.
War on the workers.
And when they foul up the air,
war on the workers.
You gotta show that you care.
War on the workers.
When they talk WTO,
war on the workers.
You best be screaming hell no.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on child labor protection. It's a war on the 8-hour day. It's a war on occupational health and safety. It's a war on social security. Now thanks to WTO, GATT, NAFTA, MAI, the IMF, and the World Bank, it's a worldwide war. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Yeah, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time, sisters and brothers, you know it's time right now. I said it's time we started calling the shots.
There's that war on the workers. That's right. This is Wes Brain. I'm host of the Brain Labor Report.
This is Jason Houck. I'm the engineer.
And this is the Brain Labor Report, coming to you April 28th, 2009, and glad to be with you today. The Brain Labor Report's a Monday through Friday show. That's right, 5 days a week. We're a half-hour radio show via KSKQ. That's our low-power community radio station in Ashland, Oregon at 94.9 FM. We're a project of the Multicultural Association of Southern Oregon. You likely, if you're outside the area, are listening to us via the internet, www.kskq.org. Brain Labor Report talks about the issues of the day for ordinary working people. Half-hour show may not be long enough. The issues are long. The issues are tough. Working people are balancing on their backs the economy of this country. The tremendous wealth is made by people who work. Unfortunately, the way we got this system set up, the economics of the United States, the rich people fill up their wheelbarrows with all of the money created by the workers. They take it to the bank, and the workers do not get their share. Absolutely do not. The rich are getting richer. The poor are getting poorer. The American dream is fading away. That idea that if you get up if you get up every morning, put your boots on, put your gloves on, and go to work and work hard, that idea that you could, in fact, reach the American dream, the idea that you could, well, you could get married, send your kids to college, you could buy that house, you could buy a car, those are all components of the American dream, quickly fading away as we see the economy tank in the United States of America. It's the issues of ordinary working people we talk about on the Brain Labor Report. Always near the top of our half-hour show, we like to bring you the Workers Independent News. This is syndicated three-minute spot, a three-minute spot that's available around the country. But here in Southern Oregon, this is the only place you can hear the Workers Independent News, right here on KSKQ. So for Tuesday, April 28th, 2009, here is the Workers Independent News.
Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. GM is cutting 21,000 hourly jobs and closing 13 plants. Another 2,000 jobs will be cut in 2011. The United Auto Workers Union continues to negotiate with GM in an effort to avoid bankruptcy and protect retiree pensions and health care. Under the GM restructuring plan announced Monday, the federal government will own more than half of GM, but GM's future may come down to what bondholders and banks decide to do. GM says if bondholders accept a stock swap for debt, GM can avoid bankruptcy. A GM bankruptcy could bring down many more companies in the auto parts industry, affecting as many as 3 million jobs nationwide. If GM reaches a deal with its bondholders and the UAW, it can cut $44 billion in debt at the expense of workers, their salaries, and their benefits. The Obama administration has given GM until June 1st to reach agreements with bondholders and the union on concessions to avoid bankruptcy. The UAW reached an agreement with Chrysler over the weekend. The union has not released details, but the 26,000 UAW members at Chrysler will begin voting on those concessions on Wednesday. Even if GM and Chrysler emerge as viable companies, it will have cost tens of thousands of good jobs. And it's still not clear what will happen to the more than 1 million people who depend on GM and Chrysler for their pensions. More than 70 busloads of construction workers, many of them unemployed, converged on Indiana's Capitol Monday to protest proposed cuts in unemployment compensation. Pete Rimsens is with the Indiana Building and Construction Trades Council.
It's important to us because the Senate Republican version here would essentially cut benefits on average of 25%. It would reduce benefits the longer you're on unemployment. When people can't find a job and they're to be had, the longer you're on it, the more you really need it. We think the best thing for them to eventually do is to increase what's called the taxable wage base to somewhere near the national average. It hasn't been raised here since 1983.
What do we want? Soldiers! What do we want? It?
Now!
What do we want?
Soldiers!
What do we want? It?
Now!
Building trades union workers rallied in Brooklyn Monday to protest non-union labor at a Pratt University construction site there. Brian Wangerman is business agent for Steamfitters Local 638. He says union construction work economically benefits the entire local economy, and Pratt University is making a mistake by building non-union.
We are in the hope that Pratt opens up their doors, negotiates with us. We're willing to work so that it benefits everybody involved.
Wangerman says non-union construction is growing in New York City.
There are a lot of people making a lot of money off the backs of a lot of other people, particularly in the residential area, all these high-end condos. It's really shameful that people sell condos at $1.3 million, and yet we deal with their workforce who tell us they make 10 bucks an hour. They're illegal immigrants. They have no health coverage. They have no safety regulations.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
And you're listening to the Brain Labor Report. Got an exciting guest for today. Carrie Kutch will be our guest. We get her on the telephone here. That is the plan. We're going to be talking about trade, international trade. Oh, before your eyes glaze over, listen to me. This is not going to be that difficult to understand. In fact, we're going to make some connections for you on this one. We want to tell you, you, whoever you are, wherever you are, how your life is actually affected by international trade agreements. Oh, come on, don't fuzz over on the eyes. Listen to me on this one. It is absolutely amazing, and in fact, more than amazing, it affects you and your pocketbook. It affects the unemployment rate in this country. It affects the tanking of the economy of this country. These crazy, asinine, international trade agreements that we've been doing since NAFTA. We're going to be talking about that with Carrie here in just a little bit. We'll see if we can get her on the horn. We got a song to play for you first, Mr. Bill Lawson, and he is an independent musician, speaks loudly for disabled causes. Bill Lawson has a song that he sings. He wrote it too. It's called Healthcare as a Military Campaign. The short name is Healthcare Now. So with that, well, let's hear Bill Lawson's song. Here we go.
As soon as they succeed in privatizing the military, you'd better get your gun. We've seen it all before, no compromising. You'll be defending yourself before they're done. We've got enough arms to protect us from without. Now we need a healthcare plan to defend us from within. We need national healthcare. National health. If the government does the job of running an army as need demands, they do. And only they are qualified to wield that much power. And truly a campaign as essential to our national health, as national health is of equal if not greater magnitude. From without. Now we need a healthcare plan to defend us from within. We need national healthcare. National health. We need national
Okay, Mr. Bill Lawson, what an awesome song. That ought to be number one on the top 40. Do they still do the top 40? I don't pay attention to mainstream radio, and that's not a mainstream artist. Again, Mr. Bill Lawson, a local, an independent musician, and I don't keep track of that top 40 stuff, but that ought to be number one. What a great song. What a great song. Okay, I think we have her on the phone. Carrie, can you hear us this morning?
Yes, I can. Hello, Wes.
Well, hello. Carrie Koch is our guest this morning. She is on the phone. She's up in Portland, Oregon. And Carrie, for our listeners, you've been a guest before, but for our listeners who maybe have not heard you, please, a little bit about yourself, Carrie.
Yeah, hi, thanks for having me. So my name is Carrie Koch, and I am on the board of directors of the Oregon Fair Trade Campaign, which is a statewide organization that works to stop NAFTA-style free trade agreements and work towards fair trading policy that benefits workers and people all across the globe.
Well, that's exactly what is happening, Carrie. That's great work. Now, a lot of people, you say trade, and they kind of, well, their eyes fuzz over, and you lose them before you get to say the next word. I would like to, during this conversation, we only have folks till 7:30. We got 15 minutes, okay? I would like to see if we can make some connections and make it apparent to maybe the first person who's ever heard about this trade stuff, make it apparent to them how the unemployment rate and the economy in this country that's tanking has some tie-in with the way the economics is done on the globe, this planet called Earth, and it's done via these trade agreements. Carrie, we only got 15 minutes. Do you think we can get there with that?
I do. I think those connections are real, and I think that we can talk about them.
Well, let's do. The latest trade bill out of the hopper will be the first for the Obama administration. And people who really follow this stuff are a little nervous, and I'll tell you why. Obama... his administration will be looking at the Panama trade agreement. Panama? What the hell is Panama about? They make Panama hats. I think that's all I know about Panama. What? Why is this an important trade agreement, Carrie? And kind of let's put it in perspective. Can you help us with that?
Yeah, so you're absolutely right that this is the first trade agreement that we've seen come out of the Obama administration. And what this is basically a bi-national, two-nation agreement between the United States and this little country of Panama, which is right at the nook of where Central America meets South America, and a tiny country. And what we see this as is essentially an extension of trade policy in the past. And what is trade policy? Trade policy is what most people on the street would know as NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement.
Boom.
Things that we've seen, exporting our jobs, exporting our industry over to different countries, and, you know, putting people in different countries like Mexico, farmers out of work. We see these trade agreements essentially are the promotion of corporate interests at the expense of worker interests in most places. And Panama is no different. While Panama doesn't have a ton of huge industry to offer, it is a farming community, and it also happens to be a tax haven, interestingly enough, in these economic times. And so we see the exact same impacts that we've seen for a decade or more on trade going to be extended into Panama. The interesting thing about this is that what you brought up earlier is that we are in a moment where we are looking at our economy thinking, what exactly are we doing here? Is this the right economic path that we should be taking as a nation? We see people losing their jobs, losing their houses. Things are hard. And there doesn't seem to be a lot of solutions necessarily coming out of the administration. And we see Panama in that same vein, that this isn't a solution to the economic crisis. This isn't a solution to bringing more jobs to this country. This isn't a solution to anything, really. What this is sort of just keeping on this model of a failed economic policy that we see crumbling around us. This is continuing the expansion of a failed trade policy. And, essentially this is... The Panama Free Trade Agreement was actually negotiated by the Bush administration. It was one of the many trade agreements that his administration was negotiating right before they left office. And this, along with the Colombia Free Trade Agreement, are sort of the ones that are still in the hopper, as you say, ready to come out at any moment. And so we see President Obama, who actually talked a lot about change. Some people have heard about that. And we see him sort of peddling this Bush administration free trade agreement. So in our view, what this is just a holdover trade agreement that it's kind of a shame that we're even still talking about this when we see, you know, the whole thing collapsing around us and we're still sort of reaching out for these little deals that aren't going to get us anywhere.
Wow. Folks, if you're just joining us now, we're speaking with Carrie Coe. She is our guest on the Brain Labor Report. She's in Portland, Oregon, and certainly we are here in Ashland, Oregon, 94.9 FM. That's KSKQ, our low-power community radio station here in Ashland, over the internet at www.kskq.org. Okay, folks, I hope you're awake for this because we're talking about trade and we're talking about issues that affect your pocketbook. Carrie, you said a tax haven for the rich, and my God, that just infuriates me when we start talking about taxes and the rich and the corporate world that is tanking the economy of this United States of America. I am tired of seeing the wealth balanced on the backs of ordinary working people. It's not getting any better. We got to turn things around. Now, we're talking about corporations in this country. We've set up an economy, Carrie, to where the rich do not pay their fair share. And in the case of Panama, they have a little country just south of us where those rich CEOs and the people who make all of this money, you know, we make the money, they take it to the banks. Now they're talking about, they already do this, taking it to Panama. So I submit to you, Carrie, this is more about hiding tax money, hiding from taxes. This is more about the wealth that's created by working people leaving this country and not paying taxes. There is no other, that is the number one reason that we should be against the Panama Free Trade Agreement. That's the top of my list. Am I getting out there on this? Please respond to my ideas. I am infuriated, Carrie, that we would be, in fact, increasing or continuing a tax haven for the people who are stealing us blind in the United States of America, and they're tanking our economy. You get me fired up, Carrie. Please respond.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right, Wes. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous that at this moment in time, within that Obama came out again and again in his campaign to win the presidency of this country, which so many people got behind, and promised that he was opposed to this model that you're describing, this neoliberal model where the rich get richer and richer off the backs of working people, and the working people all around the globe are at the mercy of these transnational, gigantic, you know, Walmart corporations. He came out again and again, and then what does he do in his first 100 days in office? He gives us the Panama Free Trade Agreement, which is a Bush holdover policy. It's doing exactly what you're saying. It's allowing the wealthiest percentage of people in this country to take their money and hide it, essentially, hide it from the IRS, which maybe sounds like a good idea, but we see that it's not fair in the slightest. That the people who are making the most money in this country shouldn't be allowed to take it overseas and hide it in secret Panama bank accounts, which maybe sounds sort of like a John Grisham novel, but unfortunately is the reality of the financial system that we live in right now. And it's completely ridiculous, and you're absolutely right, that there's no reason why the administration should be pushing so hard for this little trade agreement, other than it serves a few very rich interests. There's nothing, nothing good is going to come of this trade agreement. The farmers in Panama are going to suffer. The workers in the U.S. are going to continue to suffer, and the rich people will get a place to hide their money. So we see this not only as a trade agreement, but really as indicative of what President Obama, of his vision for, you know, what he was talking about during his campaign that many people were fired up around and inspired by, whether or not, you know, you or I or anyone else was on that bandwagon. We know that there was, people were sort of looking to that for change. And we see now that, you know, what do we get? We get the exact same thing we got during the Bush administration. Well, I think that is incredibly important to realize and incredibly important why we have to fight against this on every level. It's completely unacceptable.
Carrie, you and I are in agreement on this. I can tell. Now, if folks are listening to us and wanting to get more information, the Oregon Fair Trade Campaign's got a pretty good site. Is that the place to get information, Carrie?
Absolutely. We have a bunch of information. It's www.citizenstrade.org /ORFTC. We'll get you right there, or you can navigate your way there. And, it has lots of information, but it also has a place where you can take action right away, where you can send an email or a letter to the administration and to your Congress people, whoever they may be, especially, you know, even if it's Greg Walden, it's always good to give him a little note. And tell them what you think about this and why you think it's a bad idea. And I think the interesting thing about this trade agreement, quickly, is that it's, I think that ideally for us, we never want it to see the light of day. We want it to stay hidden in the halls of Congress, away from the voting floor. And if we give enough pressure, if we let them know that we're paying attention, that we actually expect them to uphold the values of working people, then I think that we have a chance of keeping it far away from the line of sight.
Well, let's do it. Let's work on this. You got me fired up this morning. And in fact, we have a new senator here in Oregon, Jeff Merkley. And I don't know where Jeff stands on this. Is there any clue where he is? I want to give him a call and let him know that we got to quit supporting these corporate thieves who are stealing our money and they want to take it to Panama now. Well, continuing with their tax haven in Panama. Jeff Merkley, he's a person to call, don't you think? Any chances with Jeff? Where's
Jeff
he lean on this?
Ran his one of his primary issues during his campaign was trade, and Jeff Merkley has come out again and again as a supporter of fair trade, of really a trade that benefits working people. He hasn't, as far as I have heard, taken a position on this particular issue, which we need to get him to be a front man on this. He could really be a person in Oregon who stands up for working people, which we would love to see one of our senators do that.
Well, I'm going to call him today and ask him to pay some particular attention on this, and I'm also going to ask him to talk to his cohort there, Senator Ron Wyden, because quite frankly, we know that Ron Wyden is horrible on trade. The man, he does some good environmental things, but when it comes to trade, quite frankly, he wasn't much better than Senator Gordon Smith. So it is time for us to call. It's time to pick up thy telephone and call. We do not want to support corporate money going to Panama with the same old trade agreement that's like a NAFTA trade agreement. We'll get a few Panama hats out of this, but we need some change. We need some real change, Kerry. The change that it looks like is the change in my pocket and the money, the dollar, the $100 bills that are in wheelbarrows that are owned by corporations. That's not the change we need, Kerry. There's a couple of ideas. I'm going to make those calls today, and I'm asking our listeners to join in and make the calls to Jeff Merkley. He's our new senator from Oregon. Let's remind him what he said when he ran for office. Let's remind him we do not want a trade agreement with Panama, not the same old kind of style of NAFTA trade agreement. And let's call Senator Wyden, and it's about time he shaped up too. I'm telling you, he's given a lot of corporate money. You know that. And in fact, those corporations who gave him that money expect a vote that will allow them to take that money out of the United States and hide it in Panama. We've got to actually be very, very clear to Senator Wyden that he cannot bow to the corporate interests who gave him all that money. He has to stand up for us, ordinary working people. What do you think for that message, Kerry? Is there anything else we can do?
I think that we've seen our politicians and our leaders stand up for corporations for decades, and look at where it's gotten us. It's gotten us into this economic crisis, and I think that that is an excellent connection to make, that if we want to change the way that our money does business in this country, if we want to change the way that our economy works, that this is not the road to go down.
I'd love to go to Panama someday, and I'd like to travel all around. I'd like to have the money to be able to do that, Kerry. The way things are right now, the ordinary worker in this country is not finding things that are going to allow him to chase that American dream, which includes travel to Panama maybe someday. Kerry, this is tough work. The Oregon Fair Trade Campaign has taken on now the Panama Trade Agreement. The big work, as I see it, is to get this on the radar screen. There's nothing in the Medford Mail Tribune about this. I haven't seen it in the Oregonian. My God, probably the New York Times doesn't have anything about it. How can there be a trade agreement being moved right now that's about taking money away from the United States and hurting our economy? How can that even be happening with no news about it, Kerry? Maybe I know the answer, but what do you think, Kerry?
Well, I think that this is a classic. I think this is a classic problem that people, the news media, potentially see this as, they see it as just one of the many pieces of trade legislation that are coming up this year. That it's they maybe don't see it as a real fight. Maybe they don't think that people are opposed to this. Maybe they haven't heard the cries from the street talking to everyone on the street about NAFTA and how much it's hurting everybody. We know that the traditional media doesn't always represent the views of the worker.
Yep.
So I think that we see that is, excuse me, that same problem in this instance, in that, you know, the news media is kind of behind with the administration on this, unfortunately, with this failed economic model. And so it's our job to really create a vocal upswelling from the ground.
Fantastic.
That can demand the change.
Carrie, got to cut you off. Thanks for being our guest this morning on the Brain Labor Report. Sure appreciate you. Bye-bye now.
Thanks for having me. Bye.
Okay, folks. Sorry about the quick ending. We're out of here. Back again tomorrow. Bye-bye.